name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we have entered upon the Lenten Triodion, which is the whole course of services that lead to Holy Week and the resurrection of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. The new Passover, which we call Pascha. And the first gospel is this very short gospel from St. Luke. And yet, though it's a short gospel, the message is profound. And it's central to the whole course of our salvation and the struggles which we enter upon. And it says, "He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed these things in himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterous, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up as much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And so we have this remarkable contrast. And I have a feeling that it's so obvious to us, right? I mean, clearly the person that goes into the temple, you know, exalting himself and looking around, despising others because he fasts twice a week and gives tithes, and the others, who knows who they are, particularly this publican, the tax collector. And so it's very obvious to us, right? I mean, we understand this. It's very clear. But the truth of the matter is that what is clear to our minds is not always clear to our hearts. And what the reality is that our hearts must be converted. You know, it's one thing to, in our minds, be able to keep things separated and clear. But it's quite another to have our hearts purified and become holy. And salvation is about the heart. The reality is that the center of our human being, our spiritual and physical life, is the heart, not the head. And the spiritual mind, which we call the nous, its proper dwelling place is in the heart. And as a result of the fall and the power of sin, not just individual sins, but the spirit, the power of darkness and iniquity, this power came in to Adam and Eve at the fall and entered into their hearts. And the result was that the noose could not endure the darkness and the chaos and the pain of this darkness. And it withdrew from the heart and entered into the rational mind. And then we closed over the heart. We sealed it over, like perhaps we put many layers of concrete with steel reinforcing between our noose and our heart. And that is our condition. And the reason that we know that this is exactly what happened is because if you read the fathers who teach on interior prayer, they talk about the prayer of the heart. And they teach that the mind, by reciting the Jesus prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me, a sinner, in faith and in humility, little by little by little, it enters the heart. Now, if that's what they teach, it must be that the noose is not in the heart any longer. So we know this to be a fact of spiritual life. And the problem, of course, is to bring the spiritual mind once again into the heart. Because this is, it's in a sense that this is the seat or the throne, as it were. Because when the spiritual mind enters the heart, then the whole human organism, the whole human person is healed, becomes whole, and can hold itself up before God and become once again a mediator of his divine and uncreated energies. So this is the task. So it's a bit more complicated than having the idea correct. The issue is, how do we bring the mind into the heart? And the key, of course, the doorway to the heart is humility. Humility before God. And, of course, the heart is sealed, so you can't enter it, by pride. This seals the heart. And here we are. We have to address this issue. And great and holy Lent, which leads us to the extreme experience, the profound experience of the humility and obedience of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ to God the Father on high, as he who is perfect God and perfect man, who could have dispelled all the armies and all the soldiers by a word, submitted in obedience and humility to the will of the Father for our salvation. He didn't do it for his own salvation. He is perfect God and perfect man. He did it for our salvation. He accepted false judgment. He accepted the pain and the agony of the scourging and the beating and the spitting and the humiliation. He accepted the reality of perhaps one of the cruelest, if not the cruelest, death known to mankind, to hang upon the cross with nails in the palms of your hands tearing, and nails in your feet tearing as you weaken and you die. He accepted this. This is extreme humility. And he did it for our salvation. And in his humility, he obeyed the Father on high. And so it is. We must have this humility. And the publican, of course, here he is. He's beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. And the door is beginning to open for him. And so it is. I know from experience. At least I know from myself, but I think it applies to all of us. We're little children. And, we really don't know how to do anything, particularly with regard to the spiritual life. And I think it's true. Our minds and our feelings are encumbered by the world. And they're encumbered by all the demands of the world, which are profound and intense. And the distractions of the world, which assault us from every side. But we are also encumbered by our weakness and self-indulgence. And that's the point at which we could possibly make progress. The question is, what do we do with our spare time? The world has a claim, and it's great honors. But we do have spaces of spare time. And what do we do? What will we do? Can you imagine that salvation is at stake? The most important possibility and potential for mankind is at stake. with regard to what we do with the time that we have that's left over, as it were. And what we must do is read Holy Scripture. Everyone must read Holy Scripture every day. There's a calendar, it has the readings on it. Read the Gospel and the Epistle. Dwell upon it. Ask for God's guidance. The tool that opens the Gospel is prayer. Pray, dear Lord, through this Gospel that I am reading and through this Epistle that I am reading today, teach me what I need to know. That is, me, Father Spirit, or Vladimir, or Catherine, or Xenia, or whomever we may be, teach me. The teaching for you may be different than the teaching for another, different in the sense in which the degree to which we can receive the teaching and how we are prepared. But teach me, because we need to know. We are brothers and sisters in Christ our God. We're talking about our salvation. What will happen to us after we repose? I mean, you know, homes and toys that people have. Many don't have these things. Others live in poverty, really, in simplicity. But so many of the things that we have, perhaps the dignity of others, we have the dignity of others like us, or, you know, we're able to entertain them and they appreciate us. What is it, really, compared to entering into the glory of God, to entering into His love? What is it compared to seeing God's merciful and kind face, as it were? And then seeing this and entering into it so that we become like Him. I mean, it seems clear. There is nothing more important to us than to pursue our salvation. And that bit of time that's left over, we must apply. And here we are, in a few weeks, we're going to have 2 weeks, 3 weeks, we're going to have Forgiveness Sunday after our divine service. And we're going to greet one another and ask forgiveness. And then we're going to go, like the elder Zosimon did, I suppose, into the desert. Now, we're going to go home, but we have to enter into the desert spiritually. We have to do it through our prayer, and through our fasting, and through our almsgiving, and through our dedication to the divine services. We must put aside sloth, laziness, disobedience, and apply ourselves to the things of God. So that, at the end of the great and holy Lent, our eyes will be clear. Now, some people denigrate the physical fast as something unimportant and really having no effect. But rather, they proclaim that we should keep the spiritual fast, you know, not being angry and so on. But the way that we are constructed is the desires of the flesh war against the Spirit of God. And they capture us. They contain us. And fasting, that is, the dietary fasting, weakens, as it were, the desires of the flesh, which hold on to the things of the world. It weakens them so that we, in our prayer, can actually practice the virtues. Because those chains and cords that hold us are weakened. And when they are weakened, we are able to ascend, as it were, spiritually to God and behold His glory. So brothers and sisters in Christ our God, and I know, because when I saw how soon the Great Lent was starting, I groaned. I really did. And we're all in this together, and we're all in. But, it's soon. And, you know, and then the thing that really is hard is if Pascha is early, as it is this year, then the Apostles' Fast gets to be out 6 weeks long. And they think, wow, this is really something. But there's another part of the soul that rises to the occasion. It says, okay, this is going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. But there's a part of my soul that has a certain nobility in the face of the challenge. And there's a part of your soul that has a certain nobility in the face of the challenge. And we are going to reach into this determination and this desire to know God and keep the fast as best we can, knowing we're going to fall, but keeping the fast as best we can and knowing that we're going to fall, and of course your priest is going to, you know, say prayers for you and forgive you. But don't abuse the economy of the church. We need to exercise the best that we can. If we were all to really put ourselves to the task of the fast, through spiritual reading, divine services, and fasting, and loving one another and being kind, then we, not just individuals, but we as a corporate reality, as a family in God, will be raised up. And we will see the everlasting glory of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ as he rises from the dead. May this be the proper and good result of our efforts. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.